Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Of Life Radio, where we're hearing that reports of Kim Jong-un's demise appear to be somewhat premature. Now, I suppose that that's good news for Kim, and it's certainly good news for Dennis Rodman, but it's not such good news for the cause of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am your host, Chief, coming to you from a beautiful spring day somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. Weather's really getting nice around here, kind of warming up, spring fever causing me to, you know, have a little enthusiasm gap for trying to prepare for this show, but hey, I don't know. It's just like things seem to be stuck, the coronavirus, and the news cycle just doesn't seem to be moving with a whole lot of new and interesting stuff. But, you know, there are things, and I'm going to get to some of these. If you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Now, one thing that is going on is, okay, we got this lockdown, kind of people are talking about, yeah, it's time to end it. I'm reading some things that indicate that there's a lot of reasonable people believe it was never really quite as necessary, but we don't know. Things seem to be getting better. As they say, the curve is flattening. Hospitals are seeing a whole lot less COVID-19 type patients. Emergency rooms aren't seeing them hardly at all. All these big buildups of, you know, temporary hospitals and hospital ships are being kind of shut down. So, you know, maybe things will start to get back to normal. I think it's going to take a while. But in the interim, the government has been throwing money around right and left. And a lot of people are just waiting for their stimulus checks, I guess you call it relief checks, something to get you in and out of the grocery store, whatever you call it. Now, I don't know. I don't know if I got any money from this, but, you know, I wouldn't know. Simply, you know, these days, I get a lot of money from the government, you know, Social Security, Navy pension. So that's, you know, the biggest chunk of my income these days. I did notice yesterday, Chief at number two got a letter in the from the Treasury Department, so maybe she got a check. I don't know. But all that being said, here's the thing. I'm just wondering, is it the role of government to be trying to get us through these things? Maybe yes, maybe no, but if you are like me and you believe in personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability, well, it's your job to, you know, save up for a rainy day, do all the things you need to get you through a rainy day, a crisis, an issue. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do in a free and open society. Because like I've often said, you know, we all love the idea of personal liberty. But personal liberty only works if there's personal responsibility and personal accountability. You can't be free to just do what you want without any repercussions if you don't make responsible choices in your own life. So I wonder, should the government have been doing this at all? Well, I don't know. I understand that there are cases, you know, we want to take care of our most vulnerable. And, well, I don't know. Seems that they seem to be going overboard, because that's a problem when you have a major thing and you try to take care of everybody. You don't necessarily sort out the most vulnerable. And I don't know, that brings me to something I saw, I don't know, yesterday or day before, and I found that this was one of these things. Remember Andrew Yang, the former presidential candidate, dropped out a few months ago, never got a whole lot of traction, but his big thing was universal basic income. You know, he wanted to make sure, give everybody $1,000 or whatever a month or whatever it was, just to make sure. Now, here's the thing about that. You see, if you give the money to everybody, you know, like I said, it makes it a little harder to sort out who might really need it. But it seems like a lot of people are becoming more and more favorable to the idea of universal income. And that has to do with, you know, because people are getting money. And, you know, if you get your $1,200 or whatever, well then, you know, you said, yeah, well, now I want another $1,200. And so a lot of people are starting to think that maybe this is a good idea. Maybe the government should be, you know, just guaranteeing income to everybody. Now, what we're seeing here is a lot of the, some conservatives, libertarians, people who would normally oppose the idea are saying, well, maybe it's good because, you know, it will make the, you know, replace the welfare system with something more efficient. Now, personally, I think this is a terrible idea, because one of the things about welfare is it should be inefficient to the point where it should not be that easy to get on. It's not like the government owes you money if you don't need it. But, here, you know, people think, well, what's the difference? The government has lots of money. You know, they can just they can print as much as they want. And that just brings me to that thing that just drives me nuts constantly. It's something I've been talking about here and other places to anyone who will listen. Money is not wealth. Money, you can have as much money as you want, and it doesn't mean you're rich. Because money is only a medium of exchange. It's something to use to get the things that you do want. If there's nothing you want available to be purchased with your money, then your money is worthless. And that's what we're seeing in places like Venezuela. I've seen pictures of, you know, the streets are littered, and you look, well, what's that litter? It's money. It's something that they printed up, which is now worthless. Because, you know, even in a toilet paper shortage, it's not the most useful type of toilet paper, but that's about all it's good for. I've told the story before. Back in 1988, I happened to, when I was in the Navy, visit Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And it was very interesting. Things were really cheap there because, at least for people like me, because I had American dollars. People wanted American dollars. They didn't particularly want the Brazilian currency. And I wish I could find it. One of these days, if I dig up through my garage, I've looked for it, but I can't find it. But one of the things I used to do in the Navy was I'd visit various places, and I always had a little money from wherever I visited. So I have some Japanese yen and Korean won and Philippine pesos. I even have some paticas, which was the currency of Macau when it was a Portuguese colony. I have some Hong Kong dollars. I guess maybe they still use those. Probably don't have Queen Elizabeth's picture on them anymore. But I've got lots of money from various places. Well, I have some Brazilian money. But let me explain what had happened in Brazil. At the time, Brazil was using a unit of currency called a cruzado. The largest denomination of currency they had in print was a 1,000 cruzado note, something like that. Well, here's the thing. You know how much 1,000 cruzados was worth at that point? The exchange rate for American dollars, it was about $2. A unit of currency that Brazil had in print was equivalent to a $2 bill. That was the first place I'd ever seen a fanny pack. I think it was invented in Brazil because people needed a convenient way to carry their money around. How big of a bag would you need if all you could have was $2 bills and you wanted to go out and buy things? Well, okay. But here's the really interesting thing. You see, the cruzado at the time was a relatively new unit of currency. Before that, the cruzado replaced something called the cruzeiro. I've got somewhere around this house, but I don't know exactly where it is, a $100,000 cruzeiro note. Yeah, that's a one with five zeros after it. But when they started the new currency, the one cruzado equaled 1,000 cruzeiros. So therefore, there was a little stamp on this $100,000 cruzeiro bill saying it was worth 100 cruzados. Before it was 100,000 cruzeiros. Now it's 100 cruzados. 100 cruzados is worth 20 cents, United States. That's what inflation will do. It makes your money worthless. And if you have savings, it makes that worthless. And that's what happens when you start giving out money. When people have money, but they don't have things to buy. Because if you give people money, I mean, we're hearing it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying, well, don't go back to work. You're not making enough money, so just get your government bucks. Yeah. If you don't go back to work, you're not creating any real wealth. And if you're not if nobody is creating any real wealth, then there's lots of money, but nothing to buy with it. So money becomes worthless. I wrote an article on my blog called Aquanomics, where I compared money to water. And I came up with the idea because back in 2008, during his campaign, Barack Obama said, a rising tide lifts all boats. And, of course, maybe I'm not a genius in economics, but as a guy who spent a lot of time navigating naval ships, I do have some familiarity with tides, and I know that a rising tide doesn't mean there's more water. A rising tide means the water moved from somewhere else to where it's rising, which means it's falling somewhere else. If you redistribute money, you're doing the same as redistributing water. A rising tide does not lift all boats. It lifts the boats where the water is redistributed to. So, that puts the boats where the water was taken from, they're lowering. When you spread the wealth, especially when it's done by the government, what happens? If you have like a pond, you want to make the pond bigger, but you don't have more water to put in it. You can put rocks on the bottom, spread it out, make it look bigger, but there's still no more water in there. What there is more surface area. And that's sort of what the government is. Government is the surface area of the pond. The more surface area, the faster it evaporates. Spreading the wealth through the government doesn't create more wealth. It causes the wealth to evaporate. Because government doesn't produce anything. So therefore, I just wonder about the whole idea of the government trying to spread the wealth around, because I know in the end it doesn't work. Oh, now, you know, I also wrote a follow-up article about that concerning money, because people complain that there's too much money in the hands of too few people. And, well, it occurs to me that, well, yeah, but what would happen if that money got redistributed? Say you took all Warren Buffett's money and just handed it out. What's Warren Buffett doing with his money? Nothing. Using it to make more money. But he's also basically, if he's just sitting on it, he's taking it out of circulation. That makes the money you have a little bit more valuable. See, the water analogy, it's like a dam. A dam keeps the water from flowing downstream, but it also does a couple other things. Number one, when you allow some water to flow downstream, you can run it through a turbine. Here, not too far from where I live, is the Columbia River, on which there are several dams, generate massive amounts of electricity. But they also, When you let the water pass through the dam in another way, it does something else. You can use it to allow the river to be used for water transportation because you can raise the level of the water above the shallow parts. But in either of these cases, the water only does any good when it passes through the dam. But if the dam wasn't there, the water would just flow out into the ocean to be of no use to anybody. So that's the advantage of having the dam and the water. And I don't know how long have I been babbling on here. I want to get into something else here, just because there is one thing. Like I say, a lot of things have just been kind of the same and not nothing new really, except it's starting to, something that's been simmering under the surface is starting to boil over. And I'm talking about Joe Biden and his little gropiness. See, back when Joe Biden was, I guess, technically my senator, sort of, in a way, I lived in Delaware at the time in the early 1990s. Actually, I never officially changed my residence from California. I was in the Navy at the time. I happened to maintain a residence in Delaware. But during this time, yes, Joe Biden allegedly sort of assaulted an aide by the name of Tara Reid. And, well, this is coming up. It's been bubbling. It's been coming up for a while. But the mainstream media has been doing their best to avoid the entire situation. Well, it's coming more and more. And I'm even hearing, it's getting, put it this way, they just can't ignore it much longer. I mean, I read this morning, yesterday, whenever, it's even gotten to the point where Alyssa Milano, who a couple weeks ago came out and endorsed Joe Biden for president, even she's saying, hey, we kind of need to look at this. So I'm wondering, but what's the media going to do? I read this article. I guess I read it yesterday. Must have been today, maybe last night. It's posted earlier, posted today. I'm in the Pacific time zone, so I'm not sure. But a guy by the name of Larry O'Connor, just a columnist, he wrote this, and he had a really good analysis, I thought, of how the media is going to handle this. Because you remember what they did during the Kavanaugh hearings. Could not get enough of Christine Blasey Ford and everybody else who even thought, and all women must be believed. Well, it's starting to come back and haunt them just a little bit. But right now, it's gotten to the point where they, you know, they can't ignore it forever. So what are they going to do? Eventually, they're going to have to address this. And this Larry O'Connor, I think he figured it out. They're going to have Joe Biden along, as you do in situations like this. His wife, Jill, will be sitting next to him. Kind of has to, because can't trust Joe to speak, but it won't really matter because it will be a, he will be asked about these questions in a basically a one-on-one interview. O'Connor suggested it would probably be by, oh, what's her name, 60 Minutes. Leslie Stahl. Yeah, Leslie Stahl will be sitting down with Joe and Jill Biden, and she'll sincerely ask him about these things. And Joe Biden, or probably mostly Jill, will deny them and give a very scripted answer. Now, personally, I'm sure this will be done with three cameras, one camera on Joe, one on Leslie, one on Jill. This makes it really easy for them to cut and edit. So it will look just perfect. The questions will be carefully scripted. The answers will be scripted. It will be sincere and no follow-up, nothing nasty. And then after that, anytime it's mentioned by anybody, the only thing you'll hear is, well, we have addressed this. We have answered these concerns. It's a dead issue. Now, that will be there. I don't know if it'll play because Tara Reid's allegations seem to be a lot more substantial than what we heard, you know, a year and a half ago with the Kavanaugh hearings, where Christine Blasey Ford had trouble keeping her own story straight. She mentioned somebody who could corroborate her story, and the somebody said, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. And nobody, no outside witness could ever even put them in the same room. In this case, it even appears that Tara Reid had told a whole lot of people at the time, and even her mother had called into Larry King on CNN to complain about it. And therefore, it's on the record. This is not something that was just made up. If it was made up, it was made up decades ago and made up and told to a whole lot of people. Sounds a lot more believable than what we heard back in that other case. So, all that being said, I'm going to have to address it. Now, I'm just wondering if maybe the media is actually allowing this to happen because, I don't know, I'm running out of time, so I won't put my tinfoil hat on. I'll just mention that I cannot believe the Democratic Party actually wants Joe Biden to be the candidate and have to stand on a debate stage with Donald Trump. Just like I never believed and still don't believe that they ever wanted Hillary Clinton to be the candidate, just that Bernie Sanders wouldn't go away. So they hate Bernie as much as the Republicans hated Trump. And they still do. So, well, Bernie has now officially endorsed Joe Biden. Maybe if he goes away just a little bit more, then they can actually get somebody that they want in there without being stuck with Bernie. And I'm just about out of time, so I'm going to say thank you to Vorpalbyte joining me. A few other people were in earlier. And I guess Tim Tapp is not here, but I guess he will be doing a show coming up in about 30 minutes. And all that being said, I'm out of here.